In today's interview, I speak with Justin Hodges. Now, he's the founder and owner of UrbanIronCraft.com. They make custom metalwork, ironwork, things like that, coffee tables, conference tables. And he's had great success on Pinterest, on Etsy, and other platforms. If you've got a custom product or some interest in this concept of selling custom items, this is a podcast to listen to. He also explains really well the creativity process, how he creates brand new items, decorative, I would almost call it art. You know, even though it's furniture, it's phenomenal and really attractive pieces of furniture that he does. So he talks about his creative process and how he comes up with new ideas. If you've got some interest in creativity, this is a great interview to listen to as well. Welcome to another episode of the Harvest Growth Podcast, focused on helping consumer product companies, inventors, and entrepreneurs harvest the growth potential of their product businesses by teaching cutting-edge marketing strategies and interviewing successful marketers, as well as product marketing experts that share their stories to inspire you to achieve hypergrowth for your own business. I'm your host, John LeClaire, founder and CEO of Harvest Growth, and I believe that if you want to make your product the next household name, you just need to follow the right plan, and that even the best products struggle to succeed when they step away from proven strategies that work. And I believe that you can grow profitably, which means you don't need to be a Fortune 500 company or have access to venture capital in order to grow your business. If you'd like to learn more about what we call the perfect launch process for marketing products, check out harvestgrowth.com. And if you still have questions on how you can implement this process for your business, you'll see a link on our homepage to set up a free consultation with one of our product launch specialists. Today, I'm excited to interview Justin Hodges. He's the owner of Urban Ironcraft. You can check out his website at urbanironcraft.com and see some of the custom ironwork that he does. He does a lot of specialty metalworks for businesses, for residences, and then there's a few items on there that you can purchase. Things as corbels, I believe is how it's said, and shelf brackets, things like that as well. Check out the website. The work he does is amazing. And we're going to talk a little bit today about how to sell your wares when they're custom, right? So he does a lot of custom products with metalworks. And again, you got to see the website to see what he does and see the art really of this. But today we'll talk about the business side of it as well. So Justin, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You know, I read an article about you that you were quoted as saying that you get to be a creative inventor on a regular basis. You're creating something new every day. And what a fun life that must be.
It is. It is. I've been, you know, I guess creating things since technically I was around 18 years old when I built, you know, my first piece of furniture for my mother / sister. She needed a bed. And man, I quickly fell in love with it, which I was very fortunate to find something that I loved at such a young age because, you know, a lot of people, as you know, don't figure out what they love to do until sometimes even in their 50s. So, yeah, every day we get thrown something new at us, keeps us on our toes. We're having to reinvent the wheel sometimes on products. It's definitely interesting.
Yeah, I can imagine. And, you know, my story is I actually started my career as an accountant. And here I am as a, you know, infomercial producer and video marketer on Facebook and Instagram, completely changed course. And I love what I do, but it took me a while to figure it out. So you're lucky, I'd say, to figure it out at such a young age. And I can see with the work that I've seen on your website, you're obviously an artisan. So you must have noticed that skill early on and stuck with it. For those in the audience that aren't able to see your website, at least yet, can you describe what is some of the work that you do? So what type of products do you create?
Yeah, so a good portion of our business is custom furniture. Everything we do is metal. A lot of people, they'll think, you do wood, this and that. No, we specialize in metal. Where there's guys out there, companies out there, they specialize in wood or decorative concrete and whatnot. So that's the world we live in every day. It's all steel out here in the shop. But we have a lot of high-end custom table bases that we build for designers. Even architects will order from us. We sell directly to the consumer every day. We have specialty products that I started the company mass-producing iron corbels and brackets like you were talking about, which we just really sell through online stores. We only sell when someone walks in the door and here in Oklahoma City and you know, is in a bind at the last minute. They're like, oh man, I need four brackets. But other than that, we sell through, I don't know, probably six or seven online stores on a daily basis. Our fireplace screens, excuse me, is a niche product line that we sell. We don't currently sell those through online stores. People will, they'll find them on Etsy or on custommade.com. And then of course our website. But the custom furniture, the specialty products, and then the other side of our business is the architectural decorative metal fabrication that we do, which is very specialized. Restaurants, bars, decorative metals in hotels, a casino, an office building, anywhere that you go that you'll see decorative metalwork, that's a good portion of our business.
Great. And I know on your website, I saw some pretty cool conference tables and dining room tables, coffee tables, things like that too, that would really make a home unique or an office unique. So any, you know, business owners that are out there looking for a unique conference table for your office, definitely check out this website. This is a super unique stuff and really high end, you know, very premium articles that you make with this. So you talked about there's six different channels. Can you maybe share with our audience, what are the most successful channels for you to sell these custom made products?
Well, you know, Etsy's been pretty good to us. I kind of stayed away from it in the beginning, thinking that it was more for craft type products. But then quickly realized, you know, I started seeing other furniture makers on there. So I thought, you know what? I think it was maybe 2014 when I jumped on and thought, let's just give it a try. It doesn't hurt. It's very affordable to get on there and list your products. It's easy. Etsy has been pretty good to us. We get found by a lot of interior designers, believe it or not, even on there, that become longtime customers and come back to us five, six, seven, eight times a year. Custommade.com started out being okay. We don't do so much through there anymore, but you know, we keep our products on there because it's free, basically, so there's no reason not to. But people find us from Pinterest, and you know, just word of mouth, believe it or not, obviously, that still is one of the best ways to market yourself. So once you do a good job for someone, they tell their friend, and next thing you know, hey, I saw that you did a really cool fireplace screen for my buddy. I need one too. But that's been working well for us, and I don't see any reason to change any of that anytime soon.
Yeah, I imagine. And I've seen that before, obviously, where when you've got a high quality product, word of mouth becomes a very important part of the ultimate business model. And it's, you know, no matter how, even if it's a mass market product, yours are very customized, right? Most of it. But even for mass market products, you've got to have the quality there. You've got to deliver on promises. And when you do, that's what tends to grow your business beyond any paid efforts, right? You start with getting out there on these platforms like Etsy and Pinterest, but it's going to expand beyond that by people seeing your wares in homes and offices, et cetera. So when you go on Etsy and Pinterest, are you doing paid campaigns at all? Or is it just posting your work and letting people find them?
I haven't done very much advertising up until recently. I did test Pinterest. You know, I have a lot of fun building my own campaigns. I've been using Canva, which has been very user-friendly. So I like doing, you know, some of my own marketing, or all of my own marketing up until this point. In the future, that's probably going to change. You know, I've got a growth plan ahead of us. I truly want to become a direct-to-consumer brand. As of today, you cannot check out online on our website. So when someone's interested in buying, say, a coffee table or a conference table or a fireplace screen, they'll inquire through the website and we'll start the process of getting you something custom made. And it takes a second. A lot of people don't understand the process. They've never had anything custom made. They don't know the questions to ask. They don't have to think the things that they need to think about in order to accomplish this project. So it'll take us anywhere from 5 to 20 emails to wrap up a project and get it into process. In the future, our website, which we're working on now behind the scenes, you'll be able to click, length, width, height, choose from these finishes, and you'll be able to get a custom piece of furniture or fireplace screen or whatever it may be on our website, and hopefully not even need to make a phone call or shoot us an email with any questions. We're going to try to do the best job we can of answering all those questions providing videos on here's why you need to look for this when you're building a conference table, why you would want a stone top versus this top and whatnot. once all that is done and the website is complete, then we're going to pick up our advertising efforts. And I really do like Pinterest. I think Pinterest is great for what we do. We advertise a little bit on Etsy by boosting our listings, and that does work. We're going to start doing more video for Instagram. Facebook, not so much. I don't get a lot of action on Facebook. I put more effort towards Instagram. And believe it or not, people reach out to me a decent amount on LinkedIn. I like it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, especially when part of your target market are business owners, that's a great place to get in contact with them. So Let's talk about the creativity process. Cause you know, as I look at your website, some of these items you've created are just, they're beautiful, you know, and very different. They're not just your standard tables and fireplace grates. And these are truly custom items. So do you have a process that you use, or what helps you to be creative when you're going into custom development like this?
Well, you know, so we have our own products that we've developed. I'll just use the fireplace screens, for example. You know, I've been doing this a long time and studying the products that are on the market. That's something I'm constantly doing. My wife will make fun of me because just on the weekends when we've got a slow weekend and we've got a couple hours, I'll be on the computer and she'll walk by and say, "What are you doing, researching?" And my answer is always yes. I'm just constantly trying to understand what is out there, what is everyone else doing, how can we be different? How can we do it better, higher quality, ship it easier, offer the best finishes you can offer? So I'm a research freak, I guess you could say. But, you know, ordering a custom piece of furniture isn't the easiest thing because, for someone to go down to the local large furniture store, it's a pretty simple process, right? You just go in, you see it, and if you like it, you buy it. And they either have it in stock or it gets shipped to your home and whatnot. People that have come to us, it's because they couldn't find what they were looking for, either in the furniture store or online. Most of the manufacturers out there have very few options to choose from. You might find, say, a dining room table in two color choices, and maybe if you're lucky, two top choices. You can get it with this Carrara marble white stone top or this black walnut wood top. And even when that's not enough, because there's plenty of people out there, a lot, that want a custom look. They want something that not just everybody and their dog has. They don't want to go down the street to the furniture store and buy the dining room table that everybody in the neighborhood has already seen. So they find us, and we will either take one of our products that we have on our website, or people will send us a picture, and they'll say, I don't know where I found this picture, but I love this coffee table. Can you make this?" I'd say 90% of the time the answer is yes. It may not look exactly, but it's going to be very close. And whether or not you send us a coffee table that's in chrome, we don't offer chrome. That's very tough to have done in the United States. It's mostly done overseas. We have a finish called platinum silver that looks similar to chrome. So we're able to get pretty close. And I'd say 99% of the time, everybody's super happy and excited to have that custom piece made.
I bet. I like how you described your creative process. You know, a lot of it involves research. And I've seen this in talking with other inventors as well. You know, years ago, early in my career, I had a boss that used the phrase borrow with pride. So whether you're coming up with a new marketing strategy or, you know, an ad campaign or a custom piece of furniture, you know, it's that element of looking to see what's out there and what you can improve on, right? So it's not copying somebody else's idea, but it's learning from mistakes, right? You look at competition, right? Might be making these custom pieces and there's things missing, right? It might be a quality issue. It might be a design issue, but it gives you a spark of creativity to start with. And, you know, even Einstein is famous for this, where as he went through his development process for the many hundreds and thousands really of inventions that he came up with, most of them started with somebody else's idea that he then improved upon, right? It's not starting from scratch, but it's finding a problem out there, finding an opportunity out there from what your competition or some other vendor or strategist is doing. And, you know, and maybe sometimes we've seen this in an other
category, right? So you may be looking at not just furniture pieces, but other businesses that might be tangential to what you're doing, but it gives you a spark of an idea to get started with. So I love that approach. I think that's a great way to start, because it's hard to think about, you know, how to become more creative, right? But that's part of the process of working on creativity. And then, of course, you've got to have the experience that you do that helps with that genius, right? Of being able to turn a problem into a solution and knowing how to do that. That's great.
Yeah, for sure. Finding that original design that no one has done before in furniture is very, very tough. I mean, people have been building furniture for centuries. So a lot of what you see is just they'll rob a little bit here from this design and tweak it a little bit and make it their own. You know, I get excited when I think we've developed something that I've never seen before. I'm not going to say I've seen everything on the market, but as much research that I do and as often as I'm out there looking for products similar or in the same category as ours, it's pretty exciting when you think you found something. Okay, I really don't think this is out there, so this is ours. You know, when I developed the corbels, the brackets, that's how I got into this business. I worked in the trucking industry. My family had a trucking company for over 75 years, and I was there 13 years. I had built furniture off and on all those years on a small scale, but one day when we were building a house, we needed some brackets for our countertop. And the builder, you know, just like with all the products, when you're picking out your appliances or anything else, you know, what do you want to use right here? And I told him, I said, look, I don't want a wood bracket like everyone else. I'm going to make some metal brackets. And he said, oh, okay, where do you want to go? You just want to go online and find them? And I said, well, I haven't seen any like the ones I'm going to make. So you'll see when I'm done. So basically, it took me a little bit of time prototyping these to get them the way I wanted them. But when I was finished, he was blown away. He was like, wow, I've never seen a bracket like that before. And I knew that they weren't on the market because I'd looked and looked. I was just going to buy them. But when I couldn't find what I was looking for, I just made my own. Well, a short time after that, after having friends and family come by, and everyone kept saying, those brackets, because I built some underneath our wood beam mantle at the time as well, and they were a lot larger. People started saying, man, you ought to start selling these online. And I thought, you know what? Maybe they're right. Now, here I am in the trucking business. Has nothing to do with manufacturing. We did manufacture. We had our own fabrication shop, which is where I learned how to weld at a young age. And that's where I built all of our furniture, the furniture that I was selling off and on the side. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to ask my wife, see if she thinks this is a good idea. We'll just make some extra money, and it'll be fun to try. I've never done e-commerce, obviously. It'll be an adventure. So designed, I think, around 10 brackets. You know, I definitely had a poor boy setup working out of my father's barn. The way we were finishing the brackets back in the early stages was nowhere near like we're doing today with powder coating in-house. We were wet painting them, which it worked, but it wasn't a great finish. But it was it allowed me to launch the products on a website called wrought-iron-corbels.com. So we went direct to consumer with these countertop support brackets. And I'm about 99% sure we were the first company to come out with a wide laser cut metal corbel. Now, this is a real niche product group. It's not like you sell millions of corbels a year, but it definitely helped me launch this company, and we still make them today. I've got a guy back there, that's what he does every single day, making about 25 to 30 brackets a day. So it's still a cool piece of our business, but it was fun. It was fun to learn e-commerce along the way, and it's led us to where we are now, 10 years down the road.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story. And I do want to encourage the audience to check out the website, urbanironcraft.com. You can see Justin's work. It's really impressive. You got to see what he does, you know, if nothing else, out of curiosity. So check it out at urbanironcraft.com. Justin, is there anything I didn't ask that you think could be valuable for our audience?
You know, it's interesting the direction we're going in the future with direct-to-consumer products. As you know, you guys spend a lot of time dealing with that. To me, direct-to-consumer has been around forever, right? Especially since the internet started up and people started launching their own stores. But when people think of direct-to-consumer brands, they typically think of the Warby Parkers and all of the larger, you know, the Casper mattresses and Purple mattresses and the big brands that have popped up over the years. But there are literally thousands of direct-to-consumer brands out there. But, you know, what I think will elevate that and change it is by really being able to have an amazing website where someone can have a seamless transition of getting a really cool product and not having to, like I said, shoot us an email and go through the daunting process of 15 emails to have that coffee table built. So it's cool to watch the whole direct-to-consumer movement grow like it has been over the last, I don't know, 5 to 8 years or so. And we hope to be a big part of that in the future. So
Absolutely. I think that's good advice. It's keeping the website purchase process very simple. Once you get them on that site, you've got to convert to a purchase. And we always say the more steps that you create, and you know, in some like yours, you've got a custom product. It's, you know, and some of these maybe not, you know, in the future maybe as customized, but it does take a process. But the easier you can make that, even if it's just getting rid of one of the steps in that process or the funnel to get to purchase, that every step that you remove can increase your conversion rates and improve your overall profitability. Very true. You know, we've been in the direct-to-consumer business for a long time. Before Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest or any of these existed, we've been doing this on TV with TV infomercials. And that's kind of what kick-started this whole movement not 20 years ago or so. And it's great to see that it's now, I would say, much easier, right? It's you can do a lot more less expensively than in a national TV campaign. You can do it on Facebook, on Pinterest, on Instagram, these other platforms, and you can test and learn and grow the process. So I totally agree with you. It's truly the wave of the future. Retail is key, not so much for custom products as much, but it's, you know, it's still key in terms of getting volumes, but you can drive a lot of profitability and really grow your brand awareness as well as profitability through direct to consumer. Very true.
Yep, for sure.
Well, Justin, I want to thank you for your time. This is going to be a fun interview for our audience to listen to. So thanks again for joining us today.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you for your valuable insights and for taking the time to share your story. Our audience of inventors, entrepreneurs, and product marketers will benefit greatly from what you've taught us today. For the listeners, go to their website to learn more. Also, be sure to check out harvestgrowthpodcast.com to see other episodes that we have recorded. And if you like this episode and you want to learn more about how you can profitably grow your consumer product business, please subscribe to our show and leave us a review on iTunes or Google Play.